good morning at 7:07 at WRJN Local News and Timeless Hits. Now we're going to head back to the 1950s in our DeLorean. What a way to travel back in time. I remember the Time Machine movie. He had that chair he was in with this spinning thing. That, a DeLorean, that's the way to travel. Yeah. Do you know what the original time device was in Back to the Future?
No.
A refrigerator.
Oh.
But then Robert Zemeckis was afraid that kids would try to hide in the refrigerator and lock themselves in there.
Get sued. Yeah.
Couldn't you lock yourself in a fridge? You just push the door open, don't you?
Yeah.
It opens up. I know. Yeah. Anyway.
A little extra information there.
Yeah, Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier here. We're talking about back in time. We're in our Wayback Machine this morning. Back to the 1950s. What was Racine watching on television in the 1950s? We did part one to this. Now, part two. Let's get us started.
Yeah, well, thank you, Don. Carol and I always love to share our memories of growing up in Racine during the 50s and 60s. And yes, we'll be talking about TVs. Back in the early 50s, we had one TV, as we mentioned last month. Last month, we remembered our favorite kid shows like the Mickey Mouse Club and Howdy Doody and a few more. But today, knowing that our family watched together around our one TV set, usually in the living room, we usually watched what our parents wanted to watch. And now we'll share those pleasant memories.
Hold on just a second before we share those memories. Okay, that kind of set us up now.
Okay.
Continue.
All right. So we're all sitting around the living room watching our only TV set and watching some great family shows.
Yes, Jim, you know, we said last month, too, that we when we started into these TV memories, those screens were small, but boy, did they have big cabinet furniture. Watching those small screens, we had a thing called snow quite often. And Jim, wasn't your father the expert in your house on the rabbit ears for the handle of the snow?
Yeah. He would try.
Yeah, he would try. And then we kids, you know, we didn't have big sectional sofas. We were on the floor and we were edging as close to the TV screen as we could be until our mother said we were going to go blind. We were going to wreck our eyes. Did your mother say that?
Oh, yes. If we sat too close or we watched in the dark.
Right. But how we loved sitting together, actually, even now, possibly, we had left the dining room table or the kitchen table. We now had gravitated to TV tables. What a change. So anyway, we still loved the shows, even though a lot of them were our parents' choices. And Jim, now, what was your family's favorite?
Well, of course, that would have to be Lawrence Welk. That was on every Saturday evening from 1951 to 1971. Remember, he would always say a one and a two. And he would have a lot of different musicians on there. Myron Florin, of course, was the accordionist. He had Bobby and Sissy, or Bobby and Barbara, two different dancers.
Well, you know Bobby, which TV show he was originally? He was
Mickey
a Mouseketeer.
Yeah.
Bobby Burgess. Yeah.
And I think he married Myron Florin's daughter, if I'm not mistaken. Right. Joanne Castle. They were sponsored by Dodge and Geritol.
Geritol.
The
they had that big
sign. They needed it.
Yes,
they needed it for all their dancing.
They had that big giant sign, Geritol, in back of them. Yeah.
Right. Now, they had the Lennon sisters on quite often, and I fell in love with Janet Lennon. She was the youngest back then. And how old is she now, Carol?
Well, I did have to look them up because you said you had been in love with Janet.
Oh, yes.
Well, you got to say it like Lawrence Welk would say it. We got Myron Florin and his accordion. He's going to play for us in just a few minutes. And we got the Lennon sisters are coming in here. They're going to have some toe-tapping tunes that you're going to love. And then Myron's going to come back with more accordion music for you.
Oh, and those lovely Lennon sisters. Yes. Well, Janet now is 78.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw them in Branson.
Really?
But how many years ago?
About 4 years ago.
Okay, because I tried to look them all up, and it would say, no tickets available.
Yeah, we
went. No engagement.
Wow. We went there maybe 5 years ago. We went for a wedding, and we were in Branson, and we went to go see Andy Williams.
Oh,
but he was sick at the time, and he died a week later. But they had Anne Margaret and the Lennon sisters filling in for him.
And the Lennon sisters, did they look nice?
They look great. They sounded great. They look great.
Oh, good.
I wasn't in love with them like Jim was.
Yeah, but,
They'd be in wheelchairs now, I'm guessing, right?
Oh. Okay. Well, so. You know, the singing that was on Lawrence Welk, it was an era where we loved singers on TV. So I'm thinking of a couple of them, Dinah Shore.
Mm-hmm.
That southern voice, the blonde hair, the dresses that had these huge skirts with her teeny tiny waist. But, of course, what was she famous for? She was a car salesman.
Chevrolet.
Chevrolets.
See the USA in a Chevrolet.
Chevrolet. Yeah. She sang a lot of them.
All right, here's my Lawrence Welk story real quick. There was a song in the 60s called One Toke Over the Line by Brewer and Shipley.
Yeah.
And One Toke Over the Line refers to smoking pot. You're one toke from over the line. Lawrence Welk had no idea what the song meant. So Dale and Gail, two of the singers on the show, sang the song. And Lawrence Welk comes after the song. What a great modern spiritual by Dale and Gail. He had no idea what song they were singing or what it was about.
Oh.
And that's a legendary fluff by Lawrence Welk.
Whoa.
He had no idea what a toke was or what the song was about.
Huh. Yeah.
If they had known, they probably wouldn't let them sing it on the show.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, we also learned in our research about Back to Lawrence Welk that Norma Zimmer, the champagne lady for years and years, there really had been one for about 4 years before that, Alice Lahn. And they had a terrible dispute because apparently Lawrence thought she was trying to show too much leg.
Oh, my goodness.
Years later.
Years
later. Yeah.
Get the paddles to start my heart again.
And then Perry Como, another singer. Oh, he was such a crooner. And, you know, that sweater.
Mr. Relaxation. I got to interview him once.
You did? Really?
Yes, I did. I interviewed him. And very nice guy. And we ran a radio show. As a matter of fact, it was on our FM station here. And I got to interview him. And he was sponsored by something called The Club, which is the thing you put on your steering wheel. And I said, I see you got a sponsor of the club because I don't even know what that is. But he was a very nice man. Yeah.
Did he seem relaxed in person?
They did a bit about him on SCTV, the comedy show, and they had him on a, they brought him out on stage to perform on a bit. It was a lookalike. And they said, he's so relaxed, he can't even stand up. He's so relaxed.
Yeah.
Mr. Relaxation.
Oh. Yeah. He was a barber, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. He was an Italian barber who made it big.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Maybe it'll happen to us, Jim.
Yeah.
You know? You want
to maybe we can be catapulted my book to the New York Times.
Yeah. You want to cut hair?
We also loved comedies in that era, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know what was your favorite. Don's, too.
Oh, yes. The Honeymooners.
Don't get me started.
Yep.
I've been sitting here prior to the broadcast, and these two men are quoting every episode.
Oh,
I want the audience to know.
That was our favorite, I guess, Don and mine here. Ralph Cramden, of course, was the bus driver. His sidekick was, of course, Ed Norton, the sewer worker. And they were both members of the...
Well, I'm trying to think. Was it the raccoons?
The raccoons.
That's right. They had uniforms. They had the coonskin hat.
And the friendly raccoon hello.
They were like, woo!
Did you try to join, Jim?
Well, I was too young then. Their wives, of course, were Alice and Trixie. I think he was famous for his saying, if he would get upset, one of these days, Alice, one of these days, pow, right in the...
Bang, right in the kisser. Bang, zoom.
Yeah, bang, zoom. You're going to the moon, Alice.
And when Alice really taunted him, he said, "You're flirting with death."
I can see I'm going to have to cut you guys off for some other material.
Yeah, you better stop now.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here.
Okay.
We're talking about TV shows from the 50s that we used to watch in Racine with Jim and Carol. More coming up in just a moment. All right, got Jim and Carol here. Jim Basir, Carol Gianforte. We're talking about what we used to watch on TV in Racine in the 1950s. This is part two. Let's do it. Where we leave off.
Well, we left off. I was trying to stop you guys from remembering the honeymoon.
Well, then don't mention it again.
I'm going to get you started
again.
That just
kick-started. Yeah, what are you doing?
We loved sitcoms like that one. So we have to talk about I Love Lucy.
That's my wife's favorite. She's got Lucy dolls. She's got Lucy posters.
Does she?
We have a giant Lucy blanket at home.
Do you?
It's a giant blanket she uses. I got for her on the 60th anniversary of I Love Lucy, or 65th. And it's with all the episodes on it. Yeah.
Does she wear a blue polka dot skirt, your wife?
No.
No? Okay.
We actually have the color episodes, too. They colorized it. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's amazing. It was just six seasons in general, 1951 to 57. And we all know the characters, Lucy, Ricky Ricardo, and Little Ricky. It was filmed in front of a live audience. How many times did we hear that phrase?
With three cameras.
Yes, it was a big thing I read.
The first time it was ever used multiple cameras.
Yeah, very. That was a very... Do you want to explain the cameras to us, Don, in detail?
No, I don't know anything about it. I just know it was a three camera show.
I know.
By the way, Lucille Ball, Desilu Productions, you know Desilu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's instrumental in putting one of the biggest TV shows in history on television.
Carol Burnett.
Star Trek.
Star Trek,
oh, Star
of course.
Trek.
Yeah.
She fought to get that show on TV, Star Trek.
Really? Yeah.
That's a Desilu.
Oh, it was a Desilu.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, we know about her crazy antics, and usually she's trying to hide them from her husband. So, anyway.
Lucy, you can't be in the show. But Ricky, Lucy, you can't be in the show. Just Fred Ethel could be in the show.
Yeah, and she did it anyway.
And Jim, who were those neighbors that she always...
Fred and Ethel Mertz. Yes. Yeah. I used to love how they used to belittle each other all the time.
They also didn't like each other in real life.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've treated myself to just on YouTube watching an episode, picking an episode. And now you guys have to help me. This was when Lucy had a chance to do a commercial.
Hmm. Oh, the
I have a note in front of me with all kinds of lines in the syllables. Vita meat a vegemin. Vita meat a vegemin.
It had meat in it, vegetables in it, and it was probably about 90% alcohol.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It was, because she had to do retakes. Do you remember this?
And tasty, too.
Yeah.
Finally, she was not pouring it into a spoon. She was pouring it right on the counter.
Vita meat a vegemin. Mm-hmm.
I was amazed. I'm still laughing. We're still laughing.
Yeah.
Oh. And then another favorite, Jim?
Well, Danny Thomas was up there as well. He portrayed Danny Williams. His TV wife was Marjorie Lord. My favorite character
was... She was the second one, though.
Yeah, that's right.
There was another wife at the beginning, the wife dies on the series, and then Marjorie Lord comes
in. She died on the series?
Well, no, she didn't die in real life, but she...
Okay. Yeah.
They wrote her out of the series.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
Remember my favorite character, Uncle Tanoose?
Uncle Tanoose.
Hans Conry. Yeah, he was good. But in 1960, on the show, they travel through Mayberry and met Sheriff Andy Taylor.
Right.
That was so popular, that became a show that was actually spun off. So that's how we got the Andy Griffith Show today.
Now, he also produced another classic comedy he started.
Oh.
The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, no
really?
Kidding.
It's a Danny Thomas production.
Look
at all the shows that Danny Thomas started.
Huh. Yeah.
He actually was on one episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show, and it was the one with the walnuts.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Right.
He played the guy from Planet Twilo.
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't think you guys have done anything else except watch reruns.
I know it. Of course, he's the one who started the St. Jude's Hospital, which we see the commercials to this day.
Yeah, and on a serious note, I mean, we all want to say what a great thing St. Jude seems to be. And Marlo Thomas...
She had a classic sitcom, too. That Girl.
Yeah, that girl.
Yeah.
Black hair, big eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the comedies continued. So, Jim, we've called them the stand-up comedians came on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they invented the monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would have crazy skits and antics and guest stars.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the monologue.
That's right. And mm-hmm. they also were on live TV. So if you made a mistake, you kept going. You tried to hide yeah. it the best you could, but you couldn't stop and do a retake.
It's almost like radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once in a while in the later years, you got fired, like the Smothers Brothers, right?
That's
years
right.
Later.
Oh, yeah.
They were taunting CBS.
And they overstepped.
They were pushing. Hold it right there.
Yep.
We're going to continue in just a moment with Jim and Carol are here. Carol Gianforte, Jim is here. And we're talking about TV shows from the 1950s that we used to watch here in Racine growing up.
WRJN.
That sets the scene. We're talking about TV shows Racine used to watch in the 1950s with Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier. Did you ever do a big production number on this at the Golden Rondel?
No. This is new territory.
Oh, this is fresh. We get it first. Exclusive.
Yeah, this is an exclusive. Ooh, yes.
Look at that.
You're on the cutting edge, Doc.
on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue where we left off.
Well, we were into our comedies, and we had talked about I Love Lucy, Honeymooners, Dan and Thomas. And now Jim and I were calling it the stand-up comedians, starting out with monologues, skits, and crazy antics, and guest stars. Now, the first major TV star, according to a quote from some heavy-duty research I did, was Milton Berle.
Uncle Milty. Yes.
Started in 1948, actually, Tuesday nights. And I found this so fascinating. Again, according to my research, some stores in the United States of America closed on Tuesday nights because no one was out.
Mm-hmm.
They were all watching Milton Berle.
Mm-hmm. Do you know I'm only 2 degrees away from Milton Berle?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, if it's degrees, like if
PhD?
No. It's like you could be up to 6 degrees. Everybody's up to 6 degrees away from other people on this planet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you know somebody that knows that.
Right.
Okay. So I interviewed Mickey Rooney once in person.
And he was on there. Yes.
Well, Mickey Rooney was in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World with Milton Berle. So I'm 1 degree with Mickey, 2 degrees away from Milton Berle.
Oh, puts you right there in the inner circle.
I'm there, 2 degrees away from Milton. It's like you talking to me is the same as talking to Milton Berle.
Yeah, it's one and the same.
Everybody was on It's a Mad, Mad, Mad.
I know, that's why I'm 2 degrees away from the world.
Another thing that I found to just show how absolutely his big audience for Milton Berle, Detroit had their water levels drastically changed until they knew what it was.
The flush?
The flush.
The commercials.
Honestly, they didn't know what had happened to their water levels.
Yeah.
And he was sponsored by Texaco and then by Buick and Live from New York. And then nearby, Waukegan guy, Jack Benny, he was so famous for his deadpan look and his dry humor, his timing.
Mm-hmm.
And he portrayed himself as a miser, which
and he was,
got him rich.
That's right. And he was always 39 years old. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I think your family's favorite was another one, though, Jim.
Oh, yes. Red Skelton, of course. Actually, he was on the air from 51 to 71. And that was like a variety show. He had guests like John Wayne and Jack Benny, of course, Phyllis Diller, and a lot more. But he was famous for his comedy sketches. He portrayed Freddie the Freeloader, which was a nice, bum, I guess.
Yeah.
Cauliflower McPug, which was a boxer. George Appleby, which was like a henpecked husband. And my favorite, Clem Cadiddlehopper.
Also, the eagle. Remember that?
That was seagulls. Gertrude and something.
Yeah, two seagulls.
Would you guys get your facts straight? Yeah. Please.
But his skits were just priceless. That's right.
Jim, you told me that he was sponsored by Johnson Wax.
He was, and he came to a Racine. He actually did a skit here. I think it was maybe 14 minutes, and he portrayed Clem Cadiddlehopper, and he was going through the factory as if he was a hired person. Of course, he was screwing up everything he did. Everybody who worked at Johnson's was able to see him at the Rialto Theater. And my dad got two tickets because my dad worked there. My mother didn't want to go. So my dad and I went. But unfortunately, when he was supposed to appear on stage, somebody else appeared and said Red would not be available today. So we were so disappointed. But they did have a nice program in his absence anyway.
You know, his wife was shot once.
Shot?
Oh, she got shot. Huh. I forget what the incident, the story was. And he was going to perform that. He still performed that night.
Oh, my.
Even though his wife was in the hospital shot. Huh. She survived. She was fine. Huh. But, I mean, just to go on stage and perform you find that news out. Yeah.
The show must go on. He lost a son, too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Right. Yes.
Well, that brings us to George Burns and Gracie Allen and their comedy team.
Gracie, tell us about your grandmother, Gracie.
Say goodnight, Gracie. Goodnight, Gracie.
Yeah, no, that was a great ending. Yes. The cigar, he had to have a cigar to think.
Yep.
He was the straight man, yes, for Gracie.
Yep.
And here again, they used neighbors to help with the fun. So that was Blanche, a name of its times.
Mm-hmm.
Blanche and Harry Morgan, those old names and neighbors.
Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, she is in a crypt buried, and he's next to her, but it's also, I think she's right above, I could be wrong, Marilyn Monroe.
Huh.
She's no real, kidding.
Yeah, I believe she's real close to where Marilyn Monroe.
And you is have this to, a you, California cemetery, not hospital, cemetery.
No, it's a crypt.
Yeah, you know,
It's in the wall.
I know what you mean.
Herbarium or something like that. Yeah, so that's where she is. And he always went there, and he always gave it a kiss every day and put flowers there, and now he's buried next to her in there. Yeah. Okay, enough of that morbid story.
There were the talent and variety shows. Oh, we moved into those, and like Sunday nights, Ed Sullivan was on for years.
Yes, I think that was the best variety show ever. A lot of people got discovered there, of course. Ed Sullivan, now, he was around on his TV show from 48 to 71, very long-lasting show. The whole family would watch together on Sunday evenings. And did you know that when Elvis made his appearance, 82.6% of the TV audience was watching Elvis? Of course, as you know, Don, he was shown only from his hips up.
That's right.
They wouldn't allow that bottom half to be shown.
And who was introduced to America on the Ed Sullivan Show?
Who?
Oh, well, we're going to tell you right now. Give a listen.
Now, yesterday and today, our theater's been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now and again in the second half of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Look at that crowd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ed Sullivan couldn't keep them quiet. He even had to come out after the Beatles performed and said, "You promised."
Yeah.
And the poor comedian who came out, nobody wanted to hear him.
No, that's right. Yeah.
All these other acts had that. Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What year did he introduce the
Beatles? 1964. Yep.
64.
Right. And they were so popular on his show, like Don said, they were on three Sundays in a row. Now, another famous group was the Rolling Stones. And funny story about that, I'm sure Don knows.
Let's Spend the Night Together.
They were going to sing Let's Spend the Night Together.
Well,
Ed wouldn't have any part of that. He said, no, we're going to change the words to Let's Spend Some Time Together. And they said, well, sure, Ed. Yeah, we'll do it. Of course, on live TV, they reverted back to Let's Spend the Night Together. And Ed was not too happy about that.
That happened with the Doors, too.
Yes.
Jim Morrison was told it was something in Light My Fire. I forget what it was. Was it Light My Fire?
Yeah,
one of those.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And he was told not to sing those lyrics. Yep. And he did it anyway.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Of course, Hermits were on there, Beach Boys, Supremes, and so many more. That was a very good show. And there were some talent shows. The Ted Mack Amateur Hour ran from 48 to 52. Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts, 46 to 58. The sponsors were Lipton Tea for Arthur Godfrey and what else here? Geritol, our favorite Geritol, for Ted Mack. Some of the famous people which were discovered on there, we know them. Pat Boone, Gladys Knight, Teresa Brewer, Tony Bennett, Connie Francis, and Patsy Cline, and so many more.
And Arthur Godfrey, too, I think was...
Well, that was his show. They were discovered on his show.
I'm sitting here not listening to you,
Gerald.
Boy.
I'm not going to listen to you now.
Oh, no wonder you're turning to me.
We had some more sitcoms. We had Father Knows Best you're going to talk about.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Which was a radio show turned into TV.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was the ideal family shows. Father Knows Best, that was on for about 8 years, starting in 54. Now, the Andersons lived in Springfield. And we can't quite pinpoint where Springfield
was. It's like the Simpsons live in Springfield, too, on the TV. And there's like 50,000 Springfields
That's
in America.
Right. That's right. But their actual address in Springfield was 607 Maple Avenue.
Yeah.
In case you wanted to write to them, you know. And we loved their house. A little tidbit I found was that the facade of that house was the same as Mr. Wilson's in Dennis the Menace.
Oh, okay. So yeah. On the Universal lot.
It was passed on. Mm-hmm. Now, Dad Jim, he was the general insurance agent, and played by Robert Young, and the mother was Margaret by Jane Wyatt. Kids were Peggy, Jeff, and Kathy. This was Wednesday nights at 7.
Kitten.
Right.
Kitten. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought I better watch an episode. Now, you guys have photographic memory, so you know all the episodes of anything. But I watched a YouTube, and I admit, I was kind of thinking, oh, this was it going to be like saintly? And lo and behold, it wasn't.
No.
It was Jim Anderson was trying to teach his wife how to drive. And the garage door was in great jeopardy. And he was very, very upset.
By the way, Eleanor Donahue, who played this.
She's still around.
She was. She went on to star on the Andy Griffith Show as the druggist, Andy's girlfriend.
Yes.
And she went on to star as Felix Unger's girlfriend on the Odd Couple TV series.
Yep.
So she's still around. Eleanor Donahue.
She was on Star Trek, too, once.
Was she really?
Yep.
All right, there you go. Hold on just a second. We're talking to Jim and Carol. We're talking about TV shows we used to watch in the 50s here in Racine. More coming up in just a moment. 7:48, local news and timeless hits at WRJN. Okay, we're talking to Jim and Carol, Jim Mercier and Carol Gianforte. I keep flipping around to give one top billing over the other. I keep flipping
we're
back
keeping
and forth.
Track.
Yeah, Jim and Carol, we're talking about TV shows we used to watch in the 1950s here in Racine. And we left off at Ozzie and Harriet.
No, we didn't.
Well, Father Knows Best, but.
Yeah, that's
well,
coming.
Then we have Donna Reed.
Oh, Donna Reed Show. Okay,
we have a semi-script here.
Donna Reed.
You know, so
I know.
So Donna Reed, now, you know, another ideal family. And this was the first sitcom to feature a mother. And she was usually faced with helping in the family, but the community, making choices about her life and how can she spread herself among her duties. She was always in a dress, perfect hair. Some high heels, pearls, and in another beautiful house, just like Father Knows Best.
And her husband was a doctor.
Yeah, Alex Stone, the pediatrician. Yes, mm-hmm. And Jeff, Mary, and Tricia. So I have to admit, I wanted to, like I said, you guys have the photographic memories. So I wanted to see another episode of Donna Reed. So the other day I looked, and it said, Mary Comes Home. So anyway, I was thinking, well, you know, this is such an ideal family. It's going to be dated. Well, Mary sends a note home that she's coming home for the weekend from college, probably her first time home. They are so excited. She gets there. They've been waiting for several days. And Mary's friends start coming by and calling. And now she's only had the weekend. And the parents and her siblings have been left out. And by the time they were finally seeing the light, Mary said that she was sorry, that she loved her family, and she had neglected them. I was practically crying.
You're practically crying now.
Yeah. So I know, as a mother and a grandmother and everything, it was very much the real thing, still applying to daily life.
Well, Donna Reed and her husband produced the show. They were co-producers of the Donna Reed Show. She did her own show. And she was a good actress before then. She actually won an Academy Award playing a prostitute in From Here to Eternity. I think she was nominated for an Oscar. Oh. And she was in, of course, the biggest favorite movie of all time, It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. She played the love interest of James Stewart.
Yep.
And didn't you have an episode of mine about Mary, too?
We'll talk about that when you get to Ozzie and Harriet.
Okay.
She took over on the TV show Dallas. I forget who played the original mother. In real life, she had some cancer surgery.
Yeah.
And she was on for one season as the mother on Dallas. She replaced Barbara Bel Geddes.
Yes.
And it didn't work because we were so used to Barbara Bel Geddes. All right, continue. Yeah.
Jim, Ozzie and Harriet was another great one.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a very, very good family show. That ran from 52 to 66, sponsored by Kodak, of course. And that starred the Nelson family, Ozzie and his wife, Harriet, and their sons, Dave and Ricky Nelson. That was considered the longest-running TV sitcom ever. And of course, that was another ideal family show, right?
And at that show, at the end of every episode, Ricky sang a song.
Yes.
And they became hit songs, Ricky Nelson and his band. And then the people over at the Donna Reed Show said, wait a second here. We could do the same thing, but they didn't have a performer like Ricky Nelson. So what they did was they went to Shelley Fabre and they said, well, you're going to sing. She goes, no, I'm not. And they threatened her that you're going to not be on the show if you don't sing. Mm-hmm. So there was one episode where they had her sing and it became a number one top hit song, Johnny Angel by Shelley Fabre. And that was just singing on the Donna Reed Show.
Another very popular show was, of course, Leave It to Beaver. Now, that ran from 57 to 63. It starred Theodore Beaver Cleaver, Wally Cleaver, and, of course, Ward and June Cleaver. Some of Wally's friends were Lumpy. Remember Lumpy?
Lumpy Rutherford.
Yeah, my favorite, Eddie. And Eddie always picked on the Beaver.
Eddie Haskell.
Yeah.
He was legendary.
Yes, he became a police officer later. And he was always polite to Mrs. Cleaver.
Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, that dress is lovely. Hey, Squirt, get out of here.
Yeah, right. Another one. Geez, Mrs. Cleaver, Wallace and I are going to go to the movies today.
And we'd like to take the little ones with us. Then when she leaves the room, you're not coming with a Squirt.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Of course, Ward saw right through Eddie all the time, you know.
They both saw through Eddie.
But... we have a lot more to do here, but I think we're going to make that a part three, right, Carol?
Yeah. Well, I got to meet the guy who played Wally Cleaver on the show, Tony Dow.
Yeah.
When I worked at my first station, he was across the street in a bar. He was doing a soap opera in New York City at the time, and he was at the bar, and I got to meet him and talk to him for a little bit, and he was Wally Cleaver. He was such a nice guy. And Beaver Cleaver, I corresponded with Jerry Mathers once, and he's the only person still alive that was on the show. They're all gone.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they had very sobering.
They had the new Leave It to Beaver show, which was a big hit. They're still the Beaver.
Yeah.
And so that lasted a while. And Jerry Mathers, he got discovered in an Alfred Hitchcock movie called The Trouble with Harry. That was his first role. He was about 3 or 4 years old, 4 or 5 years or whatever it was. And he was in an Alfred Hitchcock movie, and they saw him in the movie, and they said, here's our Beaver. And that's how he got started. The rest of the cast really didn't do much. I mean, Ward Cleaver, he was on an episode of Superman once, Hugh Beaumont. He was on the Adventures of Superman. And Barbara Billingsley had some minor roles, but they really didn't do anything before or after. I mean, I think Tony Dow was on Adam 12 once. But for the most part, no, they didn't do anything. Jerry Mathers went into the military after Leave It to Beaver. And other than that, they just stuck with that character. And that's why we only know him as...
Live on in reruns.
Beaver Cleaver.
Yeah.
Well,
so what do we have next time? What are you going to talk about next time?
Well, you know, we are going to...
We'll take a break from this and do something else in December, being close to Christmas. We're going to take everybody down 6th Street and go Christmas shopping.
Oh, wow. From Are you going to buy us anything?
Yeah, we'll see. From 1964, we're going to walk starting on Main Street, going all the way down 6th Street and coming back, ending up by Fannie Farmer.
Well, I was going to say, are you going to give me your credit card? But we didn't have credit cards
no.
back then.
We had layaway.
Layaway.
Yeah, how did you buy stuff that was expensive? You had to come with cash or a check, I guess. Mm-hmm. They took checks.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Zahn's had those pneumatic tubes.
Yep.
Where, you know, your bill and your payment went up through up the walls, across the ceiling, up to office somewhere up there on the fourth floor.
Well, I love having you two in. Jim is here and Carol Gianforte. Carol's going to be in next week talking about her book, and you're going to be in the week after talking about the open house.
Open house at the Racine Business Center.
We're going to do that, too. Uh-huh. But let's end with what we started with.